Thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to share with you tonight. We're only in this area for just over 2 weeks, and we didn't let it be known that we were going to be around too much, but somewhere somebody got word that we were going to be here, and we were given an invitation to come, and it's our joy to be with you. We thank you for your prayers, and we thank you for this opportunity of being able to share with you from the Word of God, and perhaps a little of the ministry that we are involved in. I'd like to read a few verses from Micah chapter 4. Lord willing, when we get back to the Philippines in August, we will be there for just a couple of weeks, and then we're going up to Korea for an Asia Pacific Brethren Conference. 850 people are registered for this conference already from the Asia Pacific region. We will be there for that, and then after that, Lord willing, we will be visiting a number of assemblies. In fact, they've got me lined up every night for the rest of the time that we're in Korea. And been praying and asking the Lord as to what he would have me share, and been interested in the book of Micah. And there are certain verses that sort of stick out, and as you read through, they kind of hit you between the eyes, make you wake up. And I'd like to share with you a small portion, one of the challenges from this book. Let's read from verse 1 of chapter 4. And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all the people will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, "Come and let us go up to the house, up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Admittedly, we do not see this taking place, generally speaking, in the world today. Generally, there is a worldwide effort to put a squelch on the name of the Lord, to hinder people following the living God, the one and true God. But in a future day, we are told that there's going to be a change in the attitudes of people and of nations. The prophecy that is given here has practical application, I believe, for us today in this age. People will stream to this holy place. They will be seeking the God of Jacob, something that we do not see a lot of in the world today. We find that they will stream, will be like, visit some of these games that you go to. And you get into a crowd, and whether you want to get out of that stream or not, you just have to go with the current, go with the flow. And it will seem that a multitude of people will stream to this place, to the holy mountain. Many nations, as in the national policy, will say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." The invitation is given. It is the invitation that we seek to give today, to come not to the mountain of the Lord, but into the presence of the Lord, to know him personally. Nehemiah, an invitation, a similar invitation was given by the enemies of the children of Israel. And the invitation was, come and let us meet together. But they had the wrong motive. Nehemiah chapter 6, we find that the desire in giving this invitation was that they would seek a way to kill the servant of the Lord. But in the Psalms we find that we are given an invitation to come. Psalm 95, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. This is our right motivation. This is what we should desire. Come and let us enter into His presence with thanksgiving. And then in this, also in Psalm 95, come and let us worship and bow down before Him. In this invitation that is recorded for us here, there is singing that leads to thanksgiving, that leads to worship. And I believe that if there is one thing lacking in the Christian church today, there's a sense of worship. In a number of our assemblies, and a small number of the assemblies in the Philippines, a lot of emphasis is given on singing. And unfortunately, in some places, the Lord's Supper has almost been put to the side. And they have the so-called praise and worship. It's mostly praise and very little worship. We come into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving. We bow down before Him, acknowledging who He is and what He has done for us. Come, let us. If we go to Hebrews, the writer there uses this phrase time and time again. Let us. As a congregation, as a people, as a redeemed people, there are things that we want to do. We have this desire as we come into His presence. Let us be diligent to enter the rest that He is going to give to us. Let us be diligent. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy. The invitation is given for us to come, to enter His presence. As we go on through Hebrews, we are reminded, and the writer says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin. He wants us to come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. So the invitation is given, and there is a destination. There are specific directions as to where the people are going to go. To the house of the God of Jacob, to the mountain of the Lord. It all has to do with God. It's not concerning the activities of mankind. It's interesting when we give an invitation to come to a fellowship time where there's a meal, we have probably double the number of people that will come to a Bible study, come to consider the Word of God. I'm sure that this is not only a problem that we face in our part of the world. When I think of the mountain of the Lord, I think of His majesty. Ezekiel, the mountain is called a holy mountain. And in Daniel, it's called a beautiful holy mountain. It's beautiful because of the one who is there waiting for us to enter into His presence. We read here that this mountain, the house of the Lord, will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills. Just recently, the Filipinos have been very encouraged. Not only did they win one of the world boxing titles, but three Filipinos reached the top of Mount Everest. And how they did that, I'm not sure. And there is some doubt as to whether all three reached the top, but at least that's the claim. This mountain, the mountain of the Lord, is of far greater importance than Mount Everest. The nation, the Philippine nation, rejoiced in the good news that these men had conquered the mountain. I wonder how much rejoicing there will be when people come to the mountain of the Lord. Come to the house of the God of Jacob. When I think of this house, I think of a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. Of course, he would have the best mansion. Come to the house of God. When I think of this house, I think of some of the blessings of being in this house. This evening we were in a home, and I'm sure you all know where we were, where we experienced good hospitality, delicious food. The Father's house offers even more than that. Father's house is a place of protection, both from temptation and trouble. It is a home where peace reigns because the God of peace is there. It's a house of provision. You don't need to take anything else. You just need to be there to experience the blessings of the Lord. The Lord, when he was here on earth, said concerning his Father's house that it was a place of prayer. It's also a place of praise, a place of worship. What a fantastic place to be in. And an invitation is given, and this is the invitation that we invite to the world to come. Let us go together. Let us have the same purpose, the same goal. We will go to the mountain of the Lord and experience His majesty. That we will go to the house of God and be in His very presence. What a joy, what a blessing that waits for us. Why do we want to do this? What's our intention? That He may teach us about His ways, that we might walk in His paths. Two aspects. I'm sure we all remember the comments made right from the beginning of the Lord's public ministry. That as he taught different. He taught as one with authority. He was a better teacher than all the scribes, all the religious leaders. And people recognized this in him. That he would teach us his ways. There was a sense of anticipation as to what the Lord was going to do. He's going to point out things that are of importance to us. He's going to direct us. He's going to lay before us His plan as He teaches us. Psalm 32 says that He will teach us. The Lord speaking, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 34. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He's going to teach us. One thing I think that is lacking in Christianity today is a sense of the reverence, the reverential fear that we should have as we come into the presence of God. You come into His house, and in many ways it's no different to, in a number of places, it's no different to the experience that the Lord had when He came to His house, the temple, and people were making it a marketplace. They had different things on their mind, different considerations. But do we come with a sense of fear? Not the fear that we are afraid to approach, but we have a sense of reverence and a desire to do those things that would please our teacher, that He may teach you His ways. The course of life has to do with a mode of action. Proverbs tells us that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are death. And unfortunately, man is presenting his ways as better and more improved, better, more applicable than what God offers us. In fact, just recently back home, a group of brethren who, sad to say, are quite unhappy with what we believe to be New Testament principles and practices, they held a conference concerning leadership, because they're sort of going towards the direction of one-man leadership and having an outside organization direct the activities of a local church. And they are promoting a second look with the idea of saying that the things that have been taught to them in the past are not according to the Scriptures. There is a way that seems right to man. We try to change what God has laid out before us. He's given us His Word. We don't need anything else. And the fantastic thing about the Word of God is that it is relevant. Just as relevant today as it was when it was first written. We don't need a new way. Sometimes our methodology can change, but our practice, if it's based on the Word of God, should never change just to accommodate people. And unfortunately, many of the churches in the world today are just centers of entertainment. It's not a place where people are learning, not being taught the Word of God. Proverbs 10 says that the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright. Something to hold on to. The ways of man come and go, but God's ways never change. Second part of the intention that we have here is that we might walk in His paths. We are inclined to do the things that He would have us do. that we might walk, that we might pursue those things that would prosper us in a spiritual sense. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, time and time again made reference to our walk. Walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Walk not as Gentiles, walk in love just as Christ has loved you. Walk as children of light. Walk circumspectly, not as unwise men. We are to walk in His path. This is a well-trodden pathway. It was the roads that the caravans would take, and the ruts were put in that track. And if you tried to get outside of that, you're in great trouble. We walk in His paths. May it be that we have the same desire, that as we go out and face the world in which we live, we too will give them the invitation to come into the presence of God, to learn of Him, to be taught by Him, that we might walk in His ways. I'm sure that the Lord would bless us abundantly if this was our desire. Unfortunately, in the world, there is too much compromise, too much trying to meet the emotional needs of people, which is important to a degree, but we neglect the spiritual needs. So may we go from here with this desire, that we would invite others to come into the presence of the Lord. Come with fear, come with respect. Come to be taught by Him, that the direction of our lives will be according to His will. Just briefly, I'd like to share with you a few things that you can consider for prayer. We have times of encouragement and times when we are discouraged. Earlier this year, the Melbourne Assembly, one of six which we are working with, they're all related, daughter churches, granddaughter churches, and so on, where they want us to be involved. Melbourne has perhaps the best facilities of all of the chapels that we are presently working with. Earlier in the year, we had a grand total of 8 for Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon services. We have our services here on Sunday afternoon. Very discouraging. Our leadership had fallen apart. One had immigrated to Australia, the other had left because he had his feelings hurt. And it just seemed as if we were on a downhill slide. It's on the other side of the city. It's about an hour's drive on a Sunday afternoon from our home. It's very difficult for us to spend a lot of time working with that group of believers. But the outreach from the Melbourne Assembly has been growing. And the outreach church is doing far better than the mother church. Recently they had a baptism, which they invited us to go to, and 8 were baptized. So we were sort of knocked down here, but the ministry from this small group of believers reached out into another community, another hour and a half drive from where they meet. And the Lord was blessing this ministry, so we couldn't really be too discouraged about what was going on. But we were discouraged. We were concerned. And a couple of things took place. One of the members of the church said, I will give scholarships to 10 students. I'll pay for their schooling on the condition that the family has a Bible study. It's kind of a little bit like blackmail, but nevertheless, the motive was right. And the kids had to come to church. And the parents also had to have to attend meetings. Just over a week ago, we were there with the believers, and there was about 30 there on Sunday afternoon. We were excited. One of the elders from the Kaintra Assembly has decided to help them in their outreach ministry, and we're seeing encouragement, and we're excited. We still have to develop the leadership, but there is much to go on. We've had a number of baptisms this year. The biggest was from a new outreach from the Rosario Assembly. I do a little bit of teaching with this new assembly. On that day, we had the thrill of witnessing 28 be baptized. 24 were from the daughter church and 4 from the mother church. Great to see the Lord working in lives. I guess there was a little bit of disappointment in our hearts because of those 28, only 2 were men. Generally speaking, it's not quite that bad. But for some reason in this new ministry, it's mostly young people, mostly young girls, and a few men that are meeting there. We've seen the Lord answer prayers in a number of different ways. We've had an application before the government for a tax exemption, which we're entitled to. We want to transfer property from one Christian organization to another. For 3 years, we've been waiting for permission to do this. Just about a month ago, we got the documentation to say that we were tax exempt. It saved us about $40,000. So we thank the Lord for that. We've gone back to the tax department to finalize the papers, and they say, well, you still got some outstanding bills that you need to take care of, problems. They just seem to keep bringing up new issues all the time, and it's always like that when we deal with government officers. But we thank the Lord that we do have the exemption. Lord willing, we plan on starting construction for a 3-story building, new headquarters for Radio Bible Class in the Philippines. It will be a combined office for Radio Bible Class and Emmaus Bible School, both of which we're involved with. The Lord's blessing the Radio Bible Class ministry. Last year, we printed 570,000 annual editions of our daily bread in 3 languages. Very few left. We're seeing the Lord's blessing in that a number of the chapels are very busy in doing construction work. We need more space. One of the reasons that we need more space is that because we have 4 preschool programs, 4 different assemblies are working this, or 3 assemblies and 1 believer from the assemblies. 3 of the assemblies have over 300 students in their preschool program, total 300. Kainta has 200, Rosario has over 100, and then we have a new work at Hillcrest where we started building a chapel last year, and we have 16 students, we had 16 students there for the very first time, for the very first year. So it's a good start. We believe that the school ministry is a good way to make new relationships in the community. It's a bridge between us and those that do not know Christ. Many a time we will have a program at the chapel, and our chapels will be filled to overflowing with people from the community that do not know Christ. Tremendous opportunities through the school program. Whatever program we have, whether it's a orientation program or a recognition day, the gospel is always presented. Lord willing, we are hoping to be able to go a bit beyond preschool. A couple of our assemblies, actually, the three of them, have plans to start somewhere down the road, complete elementary schools. Facilities are a problem. The Lord is helping us in giving us better facilities, but to go with a complete elementary school, we're going to need much more space. And as the Lord provides, we continue on with the building program. Probably I'm going to stop at this stage because I went overtime last night. I don't want to be accused of that tonight, and they might not invite me back. In Erie, they don't have much option. That's sort of home church, so. But I only come once a year at the most there, so it's not too bad. Does anybody have any questions? The kids are with us for 2 hours. In one of the schools, because it's in Metro Manila, we have to have 3 hours with them. So most of our chapels are just one building. That's all we have, one room. We put up temporary partitions, and we are working to have three classes going at one time. In Rosario, they are in the process of building a three-story front to the chapel. We have to leave some room for parking, but then we will eventually put a second floor over the rest of the chapel. The provision is already in there in the foundations and so on for us to do that. Once we've got the front portion of the chapel done, then we'll do the main area, and we will move the auditorium to the second floor, because as it is now, these petitions that go right up to the ceiling have to be taken down every week for Sunday services and so on. So it's a real hassle. So that's where it's at there. The Hillcrest Assembly has just started their preschool program. We've got 16 kids, but we've got more than double the land area that we have in most of the other chapels. And we have plans already drawn up for a complete elementary school with all the government requirements met in the program. At this stage, we just have the auditorium finished, well, partly finished. We're using it. We don't have a certificate of occupancy, but we are using it for our school there. And it's kind of neat to see that for the first time, we've started in this area, and although we've struggled with numbers, we've already established a good relationship in the community, and we believe that this is going to be a door opener to many homes that we would not have had the opportunity to go to at other times. Yes? No, we charge in three of the schools. We charge. All four, actually, that we're directing with, working with, there is a charge. Cainta and Hillcrest, those two assemblies, their program. The complete program, including all the books and the uniform and their school fees, is $100. Some of them can't even afford that for the whole year. What we have had to do at Hillcrest, because it's a new concept for them, and none of them have ever thought of putting a little bit of money aside for schooling, we are actually subsidizing almost everything for the kids there for the first year. Whether we continue doing this and offering scholarships, I don't know, but we have to offer scholarships and provide for the teacher that we have working there. Right. In the town of Kayinta, where we have our biggest school, the attorney that does some work for me, his adopted child, it's more like a grandchild for him, they're paying 35,000 pesos a year. Our kids are paying 5,400. So it is cheap. We regard it as a ministry. Unfortunately, the fees don't really cover sufficient, but we are regulated by government rules and government laws as to how much we can increase our fees. We need to increase them, but we can't because of government legislation, and this makes it a little difficult for our teachers. Our teachers are all from the assemblies, and although they would like to be paid more than what they are receiving, they really do consider this as a ministry unto the Lord. And we're thankful for our teachers. We have a staff of about 12 in the four different schools now. Kayinta has 5, Rosario has 4, and 2 others, so it doesn't work up. Yes?
Is that all English or something else too?
It's what we would call halo-halo, mix-mix, English-Tagalog, but we use more English than the public schools would because we want to offer a better education. And some of the exciting things is that the kids that have gone from our kindergarten program, our preschool, our prep classes, have gone into top grades, top sections of the next grade. And just last week we heard of 2 kids who were valedictorians in the elementary program, so we're kind of excited as to the foundation that has been laid there. But most of it, the government has changed its policies quite a bit. A few years back they said no more English. Now they've realized their mistake, and there's a new emphasis on teaching English. One of the reasons is that the call centers, you know, where you have an 800 number and you call up for your bank account or whatever it might be, a lot of these have been in India. Well, the new push is for the Philippines, and they're employing thousands upon thousands of Filipinos, but their employment rate is very low. The percentage that they will actually accept compared to those that apply is very low, and the government's realized their mistake, and now there's a renewed emphasis on English. It's going to take for them for a while, quite some time, before they get up to speed on that, but at least we're moving that direction. We've moved there right from the very beginning, so English is used quite a bit in the school. Any other questions? I'm on your time now, so that's okay. Pray for us. Lord willing, we will go back to the Philippines on August 3. So we're only in the States for just on a month. And then it'll be the conference in Korea. There's a lot of work that needs to be done before we get there. A new message every night's a little hard. It's not like you can repeat the same one. I do that from time to time. I do that all the time, probably. But when you're up there, you've got to provide new materials, because we will have the same translators and so on, so I've got to keep them all happy. We will be out in California. We have a daughter out in California, and we will see a little bit of the States out there. Apparently she's organized a couple of days off for us, so we're looking forward to that. Okay, thank you very much for your interest, and we trust that the Lord will continue to bless you here. Let's close in prayer, shall we?